Good morning. It's great to be with you this morning. I appreciate your presence here so that we can study God's Word together. It's great to have our visiting song leader with us this morning. It's great to have Mr. David back with us. They've had things going on the past several weeks, and so I'm glad he's back here. He always does a fantastic job, and I appreciate the song selection this morning that he picked out. As this morning, we want to talk about Paul's prescription for anxiety. You know, if you take a look at the post on Facebook, if you listen in on conversations that people are having, there's a lot of anxiety about what's coming up on Tuesday. Whether you want one person or the other, the anxiety, if this person's elected, then the world's going to end. If that person's elected, then the world's going to end. The truth of the matter is, y'all, the sun will come up on Wednesday, and the world will keep revolving unless Jesus returns. But sometimes that doesn't keep us from being anxious about those things. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, anxiety affects nearly 50 million Americans. Stress-related ailments cost $300 billion every year in medical bills and lost productivity. And it's not just adults that are suffering. Anxiety disorders among teens and children are increasing at a rapid rate as well. According to psychologist Robert Leahy, the average child today exhibits the same level of anxiety as the average psychiatric patient in the 1950s. He goes on to say, why are we so anxious? And more importantly, what can we do about it? As we think here in the introduction, I want us to talk about, just for a moment, about maybe why we're so anxious. I would suggest to you a few things. 24 hours news cycle. I think that's one reason why people are so anxious. Have you ever heard of doom scrolling? It's where you get on the internet and you just look at news article after news article after news article of all the bad things that are happening in the world. Friends, that's going to add to our anxiety. An inability to unplug. I believe that has aided in the anxiety that we have in our society today. I bet you the majority of people, if you reach in your pocket right now, as I just did, you can pull one of these out, right? And it seems to find us wherever we go, doesn't it? We have an inability to unplug, whether it be a phone, a tablet, the TV, whatever it is. We spend so much time plugged into these things. Demands of life. And as we think about the demands of life, the standards sometimes that we place on ourselves, which sometimes are very unrealistic. Too many times, friends, we compare our lives to someone else's highlight reel. And let me explain what I mean by that. Friends, what you see on Facebook, what you see on Instagram, what you see on Snapchat, TikTok, and whatever else you want to throw in the blank, those are the best of the best. No one posts the picture of the child screaming right after the picture was took. No one posts the description of the knockdown dragout that took place trying to get the kids out of the house to go to the special event where we took the perfect picture. But we look at those lives that have been carefully curated on a screen. And we compare our life to someone else's highlight reel. Friends, comparison is the thief of joy. And it is the creator of discontent. Did you hear me, family? Comparison is the thief of joy, and it is the creator of discontent. As we talk this morning about anxiety, let me put this disclaimer on. We're not talking about clinical levels of anxiety here. We're not talking about a crippling form of anxiety where a person cannot function. We're not talking about an anxiety that causes panic attacks to where a person feels like they're having a heart attack. That's not what we're talking about here. If that's what a person is facing, then there are psychologists, psychiatrists, counselors who are trained in mental health. There are medication. That's where that individual needs to seek help. phrases like just stop worrying, pray about it more, that does no good. That helps none for those individuals. That would be like going to someone who's having a heart attack and telling them, hey, just don't think about the pain in your chest and you'll be okay. It makes the same amount of sense, friends. But what about anxiety that doesn't rise to that level? The day-to-day anxiety that all of us feel, that all of us in one form or another, I'm sure, have struggled with, are struggling with, or will struggle with. What can we do about that? You know, our God knows that life is hard. Remember Jesus? God in the flesh. The one who came to this earth and dealt with life just like you and I do. You know, sometimes as you read in the garden when he's praying to the Father, I think if we're not careful, we miss something really big about the intense emotions he was feeling at that time. Luke records for us, Luke the great physician here, he records for us that the blood fell from him, sweat fell as drops of blood. It's actually a medical condition. It's very rare, but it's called hematidrosis. It's where in periods of intense emotional distress or fear, the capillaries in the skin can actually bust. Which appears to be what Luke is describing at that time as the drops of sweat fell with blood. Jesus understands the stress, the anxiety that we deal with. God knows that we will struggle with it. And so God wrote us a prescription through the pen of the Apostle Paul to help us in dealing with it. Four things that we want to notice this morning that are included in that prescription. Number one this morning, we want to begin by noticing the letter C. And with this, we want to celebrate God's goodness. We're in Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, or you can direct your attention to the screen. Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice." The first thing that we need to notice here is the fact that this rejoicing is in the Lord. Alright? We all have things that have happened in our life that we don't rejoice in. Difficulties that we're faced that provide no joy whatsoever. But what he's talking about here is rejoicing in God. Rejoicing in that relationship that we have with Him. In order to be able to rejoice in the Lord always, friends, we need a deep trust in the sovereignty of God. Now there's a word that we don't use all the time, sovereignty. The word sovereignty means supreme power or authority. In other words, God is in control. And friends, we need to trust in that fact. A couple of verses, one from the Old Testament, one from the New. In Daniel chapter 4 and verse 32, you may recall that in Daniel chapter 4, this is where Nebuchadnezzar goes insane. He ends up going out into the fields. He lives as an animal. He eats grass. His fingernails grow like talons, the Bible says. His hair like eagle's feathers. God did this to him because of his immense pride. But in Daniel 4 and verse 32, Daniel's telling Nebuchadnezzar something that he needs to keep in mind. And he tells Nebuchadnezzar, "Know that the Most High rules the kingdom of men and gives it to whom He will." Nebuchadnezzar had become so boastful, "Look at me." Daniel says, "Nebuchadnezzar, you wouldn't have anything if God didn't give it to you. You think you're in control, but you're not. Because God is." Colossians 1:16, Paul writes, "For by Him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through Him and for Him." What does in essence Paul say there? God's in control. My sophomore year in college, I had a friend that I'd had for many years. We were friends in high school. We worked together. His name interestingly enough, was Justin as well. His last name was Wiley, which is what we called him. Wiley and I both worked at C.W. Sanderson's. And being in college together, rooming together, a lot of times on Saturdays when we would go to work, we would ride together. And one morning we were on our way, and as we topped a hill, a grain truck topped the hill at the same time. The problem was said grain truck was halfway on my side of the road. Now, given the choice of a possible ditch or a grain truck, the ditch sounded like a much better option. So I jerked the wheel. We went off the road. As soon as we got around, I yanked back up because we were starting to go down into the ditch. Of course, if you know anything about yanking back up on the road, that creates its own set of problems. And the back end started to fishtail. And so I'm counter-steering. Finally, we get the car back straight. I look over and Justin's just like, you know, locked in over there. And he said, man, I thought we were gone. And I made the statement to him, I hadn't let go of the wheel. And he said, what? And I was like, if I let go of the wheel, then you know we're gone because I've given up as well. Friends, God hasn't let go of the wheel. And he never will. The more we believe in his control, the more we can relinquish our control. And that's sometimes where our anxiety in this world stems from, is we're trying to control so many things that really and truthfully, friends, we can't control. I can't control who's elected. I mean, I can cast my vote, but I can't control who you vote for. So why should I be so anxious about it if it's beyond my control? The more we believe in his control, please get this. The more we believe in his control, the more we can relinquish our control. This rejoicing in the Lord, it can shift our focus from things that we worry about to things we can worship about. God's first step in dealing with the anxiety that we face is, number one, celebrate the goodness of God. Number two, we want to notice the letter A. And under this letter, we want to ask God for help. Going back to our text, let's notice verses 5 and 6 together with them. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Friends, before we go to God for help, we should be more helpful to others. It's what verse 5 is talking about. That term reasonableness there, I think the King James Version translates it moderation. It's from a Greek root word meaning to yield. Jameson Fawcett Brown in his commentary said, not urging one's own rights to the uttermost. In other words, when I'm dealing with people, when I'm talking with people, it doesn't always have to be my way. It's my way. That's not being reasonable. And unless I've misread the passage here, this is a command for us to let our reasonableness be known to everyone. Are we reasonable people in our dealings with others around us? Are we reasonable with those that we disagree with? Steve Bateman wrote an article in the Gospel Coalition, and this is not an endorsement of him or that website, but in that article, he was dealing with this idea of verse 5 of being reasonable individuals. And he said, reasonable people check facts. Now, this is a short side trip, but go with me on it. Friends, when I'm talking about individuals, when I'm posting things on Facebook, on Instagram, as a Christian, I better make sure those things that I'm posting are factual. You've heard the statement before, a lion can circle the world 10 times before truth even laces up its boots. And unfortunately, that's the truth. There are so many things that I've seen, especially during this political season, that people have shared on Facebook that just factually, it took me 5 minutes to do a Google search and see, that's not accurate at all. And my favorite was the one where people would share, I'm not sure if this is true or not, but no. Brethren, no. If I don't know that it's true, I don't need to be putting it out there. Sharing the meme on Facebook is the same thing as it coming out of my mouth. If we're going to be reasonable people, then reasonable people check facts. And in that same article, he then said reasonable people pray. Notice verse 6 with me again. Do not be anxious about anything, but. What do we know about the word but? It's a word of contrast, right? It contrasts two things. Anxiousness, prayer. You want to help combat the anxiousness that you feel? Spend some time talking to God. Talk to Him about it. Friends, prayer does so much for us. Prayer shows our dependence on God. The lesser speaking to the greater about the things that we need. It shows my dependence on Him. It shows our devotion to God, our love for Him, because we go to Him. It shows our recognition of God's position and our position. It gives us strength to resist the devil. It gives us access to God's blessings. We know all of this, but let me ask a serious question. If you're here, we're here for Bible study. Was the prayer that was offered by Mr. Steve at the beginning of Bible study, or if you were here just for worship, the prayer that Dr. Hunt just offered in worship, was that the first time you prayed today? Was that the first time that you spoke to God? Friends, we need to be praying people. We need to be people who reach out to God. The phrase there, supplication. The word supplication is a word that was used of subjects asking a king for something. Isn't that what our prayer is? It's us asking our king for something. And don't sleep on the phrase there, with thanksgiving. Friends, the more thankful we are for the things that we have, it's going to help us with the worry and anxiousness of the things maybe that we don't. How do we battle this thing called anxiousness? How do we battle this thing called worry? Number one, we celebrate God's goodness. Number two, we ask for help. Number three, we want to notice the letter L. And we want to leave your concerns with God. You need to leave your concerns with God. Back to our text, verse 6 still, but adding verse 7. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Friends, once we ask God to help, once we ask God to help to ease our worry, once we give some of these things over to Him, let Him. That's so hard for us to do. And I'm speaking about Justin too. God, I'm turning this over to You, but I'm going to hold on to this little part of it. If we're going to ask God for help, if we're going to leave our concerns with Him, then leave them there. Leave those concerns that you've spoken to Him about, leave them with Him. Don't take them back with you. There are numerous studies that have been conducted. I didn't realize, I had seen this stat, but I didn't realize that it had been repeated in so many studies, so I went and researched this. And the numbers differ slightly, not a lot, slightly. But the overall, you take an average of the numbers, 90% of the things that you and I worry about never happen. They never happen. I don't know if the quote is original with Micah's brother, but he's the one that I heard say it. Worry is like a rocking chair. It'll give you something to do, but it doesn't get you anywhere. And notice the results in the passage. Let your requests be made known to God. Leave your concerns with Him, and coordinating conjunction, we're connecting what we're about to read with what we've just done. We've let our requests be made known to God. We're leaving our concerns with Him, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. 1 Peter 5:7, Peter writes, casting all your anxieties on Him. Why? Because He cares for you. You hear that, family? You serve a God that cares. You serve a God that cares. He wants you to talk to Him. He wants you to lay those things on Him. He wants to help you with them. God's never promised us a life without storms. But He has promised to walk with us in those storms. John 16:33, Jesus said, I've said these things to you that in Me you may have peace. In the world, He said, you'll have tribulation. But take heart, I've overcome the world. In the world, you're going to have problems. You're going to have storms. But He says, don't worry. I've already dealt with that. I can walk you through it. I can show you how to make it out on the other side. Hebrews 13:5, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Friends, we can leave our concerns with God because He cares about us, and He's going to walk beside us every step of the way. Fourth and finally, this morning, as we look at the M, we want to meditate on good things. Meditate on good things. Notice finally, verse 8. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. Friends, our minds are constantly under attack. Television, music, social media. We're constantly having things thrown at us. And Satan tries his best to invade our mind with lies. Thoughts that, hey, you aren't good enough. You know what? No one will ever love you. You know what? Everyone is against you. They're rooting for you to fail. Friend, shift your focus. God says, you're good enough in Me. God says, I love you. God says, hey, the world might be against you, but I'm for you. I'm in your corner. Instead of focusing on all the negative, brethren, let's find the positives. I love the saying, for every storm, there's a rainbow. I know not physically every storm has a rainbow, but you get the point. Let's focus on those things that truly matter. Let's shift our focus to heavenly things, as Colossians 3 talks about. Let's focus on those things eternal, as Paul talked about to the Corinthians. Let's shift our focus from the temporary things to the things that truly matter. Celebrate God's goodness. Ask God for help. Leave your concerns with God. Meditate on these things. Friends, that's Philippians chapter 4, verses 4 through 8. That's God's prescription for anxiety. Memorize the verses. Write them on sticky notes. Post them in your car. Post them on your desk. Put them in your refrigerator. I don't care. Anywhere you will see them, so that they will remind us how to live a life of calm. Ask God to bring those things to your mind when you find yourself worrying or becoming anxious about something. Friends, God does not want us to live in a state of anxiety. That is not His plan or purpose for our lives. He wants our lives to be full. He wants our lives to be abundant, John chapter 10 and verse 10. And that abundant life is found only in Christ. Are you in Him this morning? Friend, have you put Him on in baptism? Or maybe you are a Christian, but you've turned away from Him. We serve a God that loves us. A Savior that died for us. Let's just shift our focus to that and serve Him faithfully. If you need to respond to heaven's invitation, we'd ask you to come right now as we stand and sing.